It is good to be with you tonight. And, well, I'm just going to, for those of my generation, there are some here of my generation, some maybe even a bit older, and certainly some younger. So what I'm going to do first is I'm going to take my generation at least back to school. And so you can just think of the wheels of the older generation just working. And we're going to look back at I'll take you to wooden desks. Do you remember them? And in each desk there was an inkwell. Some won't remember that, I'm sure. And there we had a pen with an iron nib on it as well. And of course, you had to dip the pen in the ink, and then you had to write. And the handwriting at that time was very important. And I remember, as I'm sure some of you do as well, that you had to learn to write. And you had to write, it was, as I remember it, light upstrokes and dark downstrokes. That was how we were taught to write when I was at school. And, of course, another necessary bit of equipment was a square of blotting paper as well. And so that was something that we had to learn, was handwriting with a dipped pen. Not a fountain pen, but a dipped pen. And when it blotted, then you used the blotting paper just to soak up the excess ink. And so tonight, I just want to firstly think a wee bit about handwriting. And there's a number of scriptures I'm going to read as we go through the meeting. But firstly, I would like to read from the book of Colossians. And so the Apostle Paul is writing to the believers, those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what he's writing to them in Colossians chapter 2, and reading from verse 13. So Colossians 2 and verse 13. And he writes this: "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." So I want to especially just to think from this verses of these words, handwriting against us. Handwriting against us. It is noteworthy, of course, when we read together, "you," so he's writing to them collectively, and of course the collective message is also an individual message, and he sent them, "You were dead," or being in time past, "dead in your sins." Dead in your sins. And through the scriptures, especially the writings of Paul, we learn that the greatest need of those who are dead is life. Is life. Sometimes in writing to the Romans, when he wrote to them, he said to them that you were guilty or condemned, and you needed to be justified. You needed to be justified. Here, he's writing to believers, and he sent them, you were once dead in your sins. You were once dead in your sins. But he says you quickened, or you've been made alive together with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses. I just think when the believers at Colossae read these words, how it must have just cheered their hearts. They would remember what they were, dead in sins. They would now appreciate the great forgiveness of sins and the new life that they have in Christ. And then he goes on to say they're blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. And so he includes himself with them as well. And specifically in the context, he's probably making reference to the Decalogue, the, the Ten Commandments, which were written, you'll remember, four of them were man's responsibility to God, and six of them man's responsibility to other men. And so tonight I just wanted to lift these words from this portion, the handwriting against us. The solemn thought is this, and the solemn truth is this, dear friends, tonight, that every one of us in sins have a record, have handwriting against us, You know, if you go back to the perhaps the oldest book in the Bible, Job, he understood this, that he said, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. So he knew that God, the God with whom we all have to do, keeps records. And he knew that his record is on high. And the truth of it is, dear friends, that each of us tonight, we have a record on high. The solemn part of that is that those who as yet are still, as the Bible describes, in sins, in your sins, then your record on high is that of your life and your sins. And God keeps an accurate account of that. The proof of that is, you know, you go not from the earliest book of the Bible that was written, but the last book of the Bible that was written. And there's an awful sight. It pains me to think about it, but the scripture faithfully records it, and it shows time is finished. The world and all that is in it has been burned up, and the dead, both small and great, who have never trusted in the Lord Jesus, who have never had their sins forgiven, they're standing before a great white throne, and the judge is the one who has been appointed to judge the world in righteousness, and now he's judging the quick, the living, and he's now judging the dead in their sins. And they're standing before him, and you know, the books are opened. And the scripture describes this. It tells us that those who were there, they were judged out of the books according to their works, the handwriting against them, And that is how it is. You see, dear friends, when Paul writes to Romans, we said, you know, they were those who were found guilty before God. They were those of whom the apostle said, you know, the handwriting against you is that, and it's against us all, because it says, all have sinned. And therefore, the most important thing tonight is to recognize is this, that the handwriting against us is because all have sinned and come short of God's glory. And I just want for a minute just to think about a sad illustration, but a faithful illustration of handwriting against an individual. Now I want to take you all way back to the Old Testament, to the book of Daniel. And I want you to think there about a king. His name is Belshazzar. And you know, he's having a great time this night. It's a party which would be unbelievable to folks like us, common folks like us. We would never be invited to it. There was 1,000 of his lords invited to it. And they were having a banquet and a feast and revelry. And of course, the king in all his pomp, with great ceremony, is their centerpiece of the whole evening. The whole evening. And oh, he's having a great time. He's enjoying being looked up to and respected, and maybe even, in a sense, worshipped. And then, there's something to place that night. There was a hand, and the finger of a man's hand appeared on the wall of writing. It was a handwriting. It was legible as to its print. It was mysterious as to its message. But one thing is sure, from Scripture we understand that the king knew that this message, that this handwriting was for him. He knew it. He recognized it. And from revelry, he's now in terror. A man whose heart was lifted up in pride, that's Daniel reminds him of that. His heart was lifted up in pride, just like his grandfather. He hadn't learned the lessons of the past. He'd never turned to God. And now the handwriting is writing. Many, many tickle you fashion. Let me just read what the interpretation that Daniel gives of that writing. As Daniel is brought in, and Daniel, the servant of God, a man in contact with God, he gives the interpretation from God of the writing to the king. And this is what is it said. And this is the interpretation of the thing. Many, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Just think of the message of the handwriting against Belshazzar. And the sad thing is this: opportunity is past. Judgment is sealed, and imminently judgment is to be executed. The scripture says that night Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And so tonight you just think of the writing against us. I want you to think about it, dear friends. If you, like me, understand that we've sinned and sinned against God. Ah, you see, kings sin against God. Remember the words of David in Psalm 51, he says, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. My dear friend, tonight we would plead with you, just understand, sin against God. Consequently, a righteous God must record the handwriting of your record, which stands against you. But tonight, you know, we read the great possibility, yea, the grand possibility, that that writing can be blotted out. That writing can be blotted out. There's some of us here tonight, you know, and we have nothing in ourselves. But oh, the wonder of it, the joy we have in our hearts to know that all our sins have been forgiven and all the handwriting against us has been blotted out. Has been blotted out. Once it's blotted out, you know, it's blotted out forever and forever I want to read about another high. This time I'm going to read from way back in the Psalms. These are well-known works to most, I judge, but I'm going to read from Psalm 22. And we'll read a few verses there. Psalm 22. And we'll read from verse 14. Now this is written by David the king, who could say, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." And then he's writing. But he's writing prophetically. He's not writing about himself. He's writing about another. And this is what he says. "Of this other, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." And so we want to turn from the thought of handwriting against us to a hand that's been pierced. A hand that's been pierced. And tonight, my dear friend, as a sinner saved by grace, as a sinner whose sins have been blotted out, I know that these hands were pierced for me. And we'll take you, see, this is a prophetic word. In fact, it's written 1,000 years at least before these words were fulfilled. Amazing thing is, the crucifixion death was not known when these words were penned by David. And it just shows the veracity of Scripture. The words were written prophetically. They were foretellings, they were foretold of the sufferings of God's dear Son who came into the world not to condemn the world, not to judge the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. This is the great message. This is the strains of gospel grace. That the world might be saved. And you know, the wonderful thing is this. That was foretold 1,000 years before its fulfillment is fulfilled and recorded in Scripture, in the Gospels. And if you read the Gospels in relation to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, it says, Luke says this, "When they were come to the place," it was an appointed place, it was not a place of the people's choice, it was a place that had been appointed beforehand, yea, we would say from eternity. "When they came to the place which is called Calvary," the Hebrew Golgotha, "there they crucified him." Can I tell you, I'm sure of this, that the soldiers who had been under orders had crucified many before this. They never crucified anyone like this. Never. My dear friend, you know this, that the Lord Jesus, when they came to take him in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "This is your hour." He never showed any resistance. He could have prayed the Father, and he would have sent him more than 12 legion of angels had he asked for it. He never did. When it came to the cross, he gave no resistance. In his defense before Pilate, he never answered him a word. When it came to Calvary, I judge that many The others that were crucified with him would have clenched their hands to try, if possible, just to avoid the awful crushing pain of crucifixion. The Lord Jesus just opened his hands. Scripture would be fulfilled. They pierced my hands and my feet. And there on the cross, they have found time to be assured of this. The Lord Jesus was there not because he had won sin, he had none, but because he loved you. And he loved me, and he gave himself for us at Calvary. There he died on the cross. There was a transaction that took place there that defies any one mortal today to fully describe, far less understand, what took place in the dark hours of Calvary when my blessed Lord and love unbounded him, like I said, what none can know. He bore my sins in his own body on the tree. He bore the sin of the world. That's what John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so, tonight we're just thinking very superficially of something that's the depths of which is unfathomable, the depths of suffering that the Saviour knew when he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He pierced my hands and my feet. What do you think now, just a minute? So we've thought about hand writing against us, thought about a little about hands pierced for us. Hands pierced for us. I want to think tonight about hands that are ready to save. Hands that are ready to save. Now, if you read through Mark's Gospel, it's lovely to see the times the Lord Jesus stretches out his hand. Stretches out his hand. You know, there's a leper comes to him. There's a man full of disease. And the Lord Jesus asks him, "What is it you want me to do for you?" There's a blind man, rather. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" He says, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." There's a leper, and he wants to be healed. And the Lord Jesus just outstretches his hand and touches. And touches him. "I will be thou clean. I will be thou clean." There's a maid lying in death. Parents bereft of their daughter. And they're in the deepest mourning and grief. And Jesus comes into the house and takes the young maid by the hand. "Young maid, I say unto thee, arise." And he lifted her up and restored her to life. Restored her to life. These are the hands of the Saviour. You know, there was a disciple one day, and he was walking on the water towards Jesus, something absolutely miraculous. And as Jesus bid him to come to him on the sea. And you know the story, how he began to sink. And he just cried out. He says, "Lord, save me." And there was the hand of the Saviour ready to save. Ready to save. And I tell you tonight, my dear friend, the Lord Jesus is ready to save. He's willing to save. And he's able to save. And he's able to save you now. And I tell you this, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. The question then is, if you understand that there's a handwriting of sin against you, because of your sin against you, if you understand that the Lord Jesus, the blessed Son of God, came into the world to save sinners, and that he died at the cross of Calvary, and his hands were pierced for you. His hands were pierced for you. If you understand tonight, there's one in heaven, and his hands are outstretched in a beckoning, inviting way to you, ready to save, ready to save. The question is, what will you do? Would you tonight just understand and accept and repent of your sin? Or would you just, in a sense, use the words of mercy, I am a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. The Lord Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed out of death, in death's trespass, and said, out of death into life. For you see, the gift of God, the free gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You might be saying, well, Dom, I would love to do that tonight. But you know, I could never manage to stay that way. I could never manage to keep it. Well, listen to the words of the one whose hands are pierced. Listen to the one whose hands are stretched ready to save the night. He says in John chapter 10, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, or the same hand that's pierced. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There's the security lock, the like of which can never, ever be breached. Never, ever be breached. So the keeping of your soul, once you trust in the Lord Jesus, is in his keeping. And he could say, at the end of his sojourn here, the disciples who were given this, that he had lost not one. He hadn't lost one of them that the Father had given him. And that will be true at the end of time, that one who has trusted will ever stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ and be judged according to the work. Out of the books, never one. Why? Because their name's written in the book of life. The name's written in the book. If yours can be there tonight, if it's not there now, oh, sure it is. God wants you to be saved. God's desire is that all men should be saved. And he's done everything possible so that all may live since Christ has died. I wonder if you'll just, in your quiet moments, perhaps this evening, just think then about solemnly and personally the handwriting against you, the hand that was pierced for you, the hand that's outstretched to save you. And he's waiting, and he's willing, and he's able to save to the very end all who come unto God by him. And through trusting in the Lord Jesus tonight, you can know the very great joy of your sins, the right handwriting blotted out forever and forever. You can know the peace of God which passeth all understanding, flooding your soul. You can know the joy of being possessor presently of eternal life in your soul, and the prospect of dwelling with Christ eternally in God's heaven. You can know with assurance tonight that there's a hand holding you, all who are saved, and never, never perish. May God bless his word with all our hearts tonight. Let's pray. Father, we are ever so grateful to thee for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus, for the love that thou hast expressed. We would have never known that thou didst love us had it not been that thou didst send thy Son in that shameful yet essential death of the cross for sinners just like us. Our Father, we thank thee for the consideration of thy word. We thank thee for the power in the gospel. We remember how the Apostle Paul could write, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Thou knowest the hearts of all. In our little company here, we pray, our Father, by thy Spirit tonight, they will take something of thy word and apply it to the heart of any unsaved. And oh, tonight we pray earnestly that they may come to know Jesus as their Saviour. This we ask with thanksgivings, thanking thee again and again for the one whose hands were pierced, and now the one who is living after the power of an endless life and able to save unto the uttermost. We commit the word to thyself for thy blessing, and do so in the valued and the fragrant name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.